Treat to be here today. Man, it really is a treat to have all of those traveling that came back and decided to come back even. Man, it's like, that's great. It's tough sometimes when you get to go on vacation to come back. It's the, right? I don't know. Hey, it's good to be here. It's really good to be here. I wanted to get into a series. It's probably going to take us a few months. In fact, it's going to be fun. We're going to involve some different teachers, different people that are going to share some of their knowledge, experience, but it's going to be a series that I'm kind of labeling it. I know that there's a TV show called this, but it's MythBusters. You guys, anybody here watch MythBusters? Yeah, it's kind of. I know it's been on for quite a while now, but what they do is they take ideas and thoughts and different things that we've developed in our society and culture as myths or things that we think are true, and they put them to the test. They put these myths to the test, or so that a lot of times they're debunking these myths, and sometimes they're proving them to be actually accurate. And so it's kind of fun. Here's what I'd like to do, because I feel like in our day right now there's definitely a perspective about Christianity, about God, about church, about heaven, and the heaven and hell. We got to throw both of them in there. Different ideas, worldviews that we've developed into that maybe some of them that we've come up with. You guys with me over there? Maybe some of them that we've come up with aren't actually scriptural, aren't actually true. Maybe some of them are true. So I'd like to delve into this wide variety of areas, and so travel with me, if you will, on this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Glenn spoke a couple weeks ago about church and why we do this thing called church and why you showed up here today. I don't know, why some of you show up here today? Oh, okay, nothing else to do, hear the word, good fellowship, coffee's free. I don't know, my mom made me, my wife made me, my husband made me, my kids made me, I don't know. And that is going to be one of the discussions I'd like to talk about is church, and why do we do this thing called church? I know Glenn spoke on it a couple weeks ago, and Stephen, thank you for sharing last week. Where'd you go, Stephen? Did he just disappear? Oh. He didn't ask for permission to. You guys got to ask for, you know, I appreciate Brian. He asked for permission to leave this week, and I gave it to him reluctantly, but I gave it to him. He did. He asked. So that's why this whole row is vacant, because, I don't know, Brian didn't show up, so his friends didn't show up. I don't think Brian has any friends anyway, so, yeah. Oh, are you one of his friends? Oh, okay. Well, don't tell him what I said. Oh, just kidding. Here's what I'd like to do, though, if you guys are with me. You guys know I'm having fun this morning. And I want to have a good time with this. And that's my prayer, is in dealing with issues, subjects, topics that we might seem to be, that's something that we've always believed, always thought. And maybe there's things that I've developed and maybe you've developed as what I've thought to always be true. Maybe they're not so true after all, or maybe they've got so much of a humanistic twist, and that's probably the thing that I see most prominent in the Christian church today, is how many humanistic twists are woven into Christian truths that have come from the Bible. So I'd like us to just really dig into these as much as possible. Some of them, I'm going to forewarn you, are going to just simply confirm what you've always believed, what you've always thought. Some of them are going to rub you really, really wrong. I'm just warning you. Some of these things are going to rub you really, really wrong. Are you prepared for that? I'm going to ask you if you are. I hope that you are, because I know it. Some of them are going to rub me really, really wrong. And that's okay. Am I prepared for that? So here I want to take a verse of the Bible. Are you guys with me with this? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to go right there really fast, because It's what I think I'm going to base a lot of this off of, this idea, this thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And in verse 4 is one we always like to quote. Says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." What are these strongholds? And it's the verse 5, it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, idea, worldview, tradition into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So are you guys prepared for that? Because this is what the Bible says for us to do. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual. There are issues in my life that I've got to look at hardly. Are you guys with me this morning? I know you guys are really quiet and you're listening, and I appreciate that, but I just want to make sure you're still with me. Make sure everybody's awake and nobody's dozing off. I'm telling you, if anybody dozes off, I don't want you to raise your hand. If you doze off, you give me permission to doink you on the forehead. Not very hard, just enough to wake you up. I'll pretend that there's a mosquito there. That's what the rest of us are going to say. There was a mosquito on his forehead. So I saved you from all your blood getting sucked out. Because if you fall asleep and a mosquito starts sucking on your forehead, guess what happens? You wake up a little pale, huh? Yeah. So that'll work too. Stephen will get me one next week. No dozing. Oh, that's okay. If you doze, I give you. It's okay. I'm not going to do that. I promise I won't. I got a little, this is probably, I think, one of the best illustrations I think I've come up with that the Lord has given me. I don't come up with this stuff. This is kind of cool. I got to show you this. I know, this is really cool. All right. This is what I like these tools. Anybody use one of these? It's called a laser level. I like these, super cool. Especially, it's great when your wife is making you hang about 16, 18 to 25 pictures in your living room. You know, if you've ever been in our living room, we have a wall that's covered in pictures, and they've got to be level. Right? What happens if they're not? You're not going to bed until they're level. So I use this thing a lot, and it's super fantastic. This one's even got a little stand and everything where you could actually put this thing, attach it to this, do this thing, and it's got this little clip where it's got these little prongs. And boom, I stick it to the wall, and ow, dang it. They really do work. Stick to the wall, so I'll take that off. I really don't need it this time, because here's what we're going to do. I'm going to show you something that's super cool. I believe that this is an illustration I want us to listen to. I got to set it over here and point it that way, because that way nobody accidentally looks into it. Wouldn't want that to happen. You turn it on, you set it down. You guys see that? Ooh, look at that. See, it's even way cool because it's like right on the cross. I can't get it to square up. There you go. See, I'm such a OCD. There you go. Got it. Okay. Here's what you got to do is it. I know. I'm not. I'm a slob. Just for the moment. The level is, I wanted to use this as an illustration. You guys with me? Okay. Is the Word of God, God's Word. The laser, and listen to this, is the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God to direct us in a straight line, in the line that God wants us to go. Isn't that cool? And here's what's going to happen. So here's what we could do is we veer off, and then we could look back and listen to the Holy Spirit, and He could say, this is where the direction I need you to go. I want us to use that. Can't look at it. Oh, wait. If you really want to walk with God rightly, though, you got to do this. Whoa. You guys are laughing at me, aren't you? But guess what? I could look directly into that level, laser level, and it's not going to blind me. Do you know what these glasses are like? Oh, that's okay. That's a trick. Oh, here, let's turn it off.
How's it going, Eric?
Good, buddy. There you go. I almost looked into it, huh? Good to see you, Xavier. Yeah. Here's what, these are cool. Do you know what these glasses are like? Another part of the illustration. These are called glasses of humility. Kind of fits, huh? Right? I put them on, you guys all laughed at me. Huh? Because I look silly, don't I? It's actually you guys are the ones that look silly. Here's what I want us to do is, because as we walk in humility, here's the thing that we need to understand, and I think this is so cool, is when I take my thoughts captive and make them obedient, it requires absolute humility, because here's what we've developed. Don't we develop ideas and thoughts to where, if anything can define this culture of youth, right, is they think that they are the smartest that has ever existed, right? A lot of humility there. What's that? No, you are? No, sorry. Your generation was not. Sorry. But this generation is the smartest that has ever been born. The millennials are it. No, they have access to so much information. You could Google anything, you could find out everything. And you could YouTube any how-to anything on the planet. It's super cool. How many of you guys use YouTube just to find out how-to? Right? You guys didn't get that. That wasn't our generation, John. That wasn't our generation. That was the millennials that came up with that stuff. And they're the ones that show us how to use it, right? They are the smartest. So what I'm trying to say is, it does require humility to learn and to take my thoughts captive and say, now I need to make my thoughts captive and make them obedient to God's word. That requires absolute humility. So yeah, we got to put on the silly glasses and say, you know what? In putting those on is saying, here's what it's saying. I need help to see clearly, because without it, my perspective is tainted by my own pride. So humble glasses are required to walk the line with God. Amen? Amen. That's not even in my message at all. That's pretty cool, though. That was from the Holy Spirit. That was a freebie. That was a freebie. I don't know if you guys realize, but man, this is really good preaching. Guys, realize this? Really good. That was absolute humility, because that wasn't me. Because this isn't me. And I think you do realize that too. So here, let's delve into this very first one. I'm gonna have fun with this, and I hope you guys do too. And here's the goal and the intention behind all of this is that we would walk, yes, on that laser line, but our walk would be glorifying to God. And our walk would be so glorifying to God that people would see Jesus in us and through us. It's not about us looking good for our sake. It's about us exposing the love of God to the lost, revealing those that don't know Jesus, revealing the love of Jesus to all, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, wherever God has placed us. What that is saying is that God is intent on equipping us, providing us with all the right tools, giving us the right mindset, giving us the right attitude of our spirit and our heart to be glorifying to Him. That's the goal, okay? That's the goal. The goal isn't, in all of this stuff, it isn't to prove anybody wrong. It isn't to say, aha, see, we've been missing it all this time. I don't ever want us to be thinking that or even that being a mindset. It's like, aha, wow, I never saw that before like that. Put on I call them the humble glasses. Do I need to wear them the whole time just to be a constant reminder? Robin says no. No, we don't need to. This is my little contraption here, by the way. Sorry, I don't want to mess you guys up. You're like, what the heck is that? First, I'm glad you didn't fall. That would have been super bad. First topic to talk about this week. One that is a myth, I believe, and one that we've developed as a thought. It's a question. Does God need my money? Does God need my money? That's a good question, huh? Well, let's talk about it. Our first response usually is going to be, no, he doesn't. And why do we respond that way? Because we know some truth about God's word. So I'm going to share everything that we're going to do. It's going to be backed up. Every idea, every thought that we take captive is going to be backed up by the word of God. Every new thought, if you will, it won't be new because it's going to be from the word of God. Everything that we tackle, every topic is going to be confirmed by the word of God and the word of God solely. There's going to be things that I think that we'll have opinions on, we'll have different ideas about, but the word of God is our standard, just as it's the level. It's the level that is, here's even a better way to, that part of that illustration is this foundation is the firm foundation of God's love. The level is the word of God. The laser is the Holy Spirit. And all of it is encompassed and completed by the completed work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself for us as God the Son and rose from the grave, completed it, finished it, and said, bam, my stamp is good. It is good. And what I have done is valid. We need to know that as the absolute truth. Amen? It's just getting better, huh? The more you talk about Jesus, the preaching just gets better. I'm having fun. I don't know about you guys. Does God need our money? It's a myth that here's what we'll develop the idea from. If we have that myth, if we have that concept, what we'll first think is if we think that God needs our money, then here's the other thought that comes alongside of it that's right in its back pocket is the church, the only thing the church ever does is ask for money. Have any of you ever heard that? How many in this room are probably in this? I mean, I've had people come up to me and say, yeah, we don't go to that church anymore because all they ever do is ask for money. This church, that church, or that church. Does that keep me from like, oh boy, I better not ever ask for money or they're just going to leave? Do you think that some people come here and that's one of the first things they say to me as a pastor because they want to make sure that I just don't talk about money, right? A little bit of manipulation. But what is that idea though? That's an idea. You've heard that thought, right? Might have even thought that thought. Hello? Right. Because we have developed an ideal that if we think that God needs our money, we're going to think that the church is going to ask for our money because we're connected to God. And so therefore, if the church is asking for money, then God must need my money, right? Let's talk about it for a second. Let's go into Psalm chapter 50. Let's go straight to the one that probably is the most famous for debunking that myth. Psalm chapter 50, starting in verse 7. Guys, still with me? No dozers? Yep. No dozers. I don't know what. Okay, watch. Big ones. Got it. Verse 7. Start there. This is awesome. Listen to this passage of scripture. Just listen, because it will confirm just how awesome God is. Verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. Open up your ears, and I will speak. Just that verse alone. Hear, my people. If you have ears to hear, listen. Hear, and I will speak. Just take that. Nibble on it. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house nor goats from your folds. Why is he saying that? Saying, your sacrifice isn't what I'm after. I don't need your money. I don't need it. Because he says this. Verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine. Remember how I've shared with you one of my fears? Even as I was studying this, God just like, he like slapped me up. You ever do this to you? Yeah. That's what he did to me this morning. Like, oh. And it really did feel about just like that. Said, you know, because I've shared with you one of my biggest fears is to be eaten by an animal. And here he says, every beast of the field is mine. If an animal wants to eat you, that animal that I am directing to eat you is the one that I'm in control of. So be it. Or please, God, don't let him eat me. That's more of what I said. God, please don't let that animal eat me. I don't think I said so be it. I just said that just now. It happens. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, because I would not need to tell you. You could not feed me if I were hungry. For the world is mine and all of its fullness. Does God need anything of yours? Does God need you? Does God need me? Hello? We kind of got a little quiet there, didn't we? Didn't we, huh? Didn't we? Oh, boy. It says, and will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Here's what he's saying. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. An offering of thanksgiving is what he's after. One that says, just thank you, God. Thank you, God, for allowing me and giving me the breath to live in your universe, on your planet. All the world is yours. Every beast of the field is yours. Every bird of the forest is yours. A cattle on a thousand hills is yours. You don't need anything from me. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm going to get into. I want to get into this issue because if that's the case, and let's just talk about, you jumped ahead for a second, and that's okay, Marguerite, that's okay, and we'll go there really fast, because I also wanted to just recall, and I don't have any scriptural passages, I don't have them listed because I don't think it's necessary, but just recall, how many times did Jesus miraculously provide for the needs of the thousands, of the one, of the dozen? How many times did he take just with two fish and five loaves of bread and feed thousands? How many times when the taxes were due, the one time we know of, but how many times that it did happen? I imagine it was innumerable, but the one time they do that, when the bills were due, what did he tell Peter to do and the fishermen? This is the coolest thing I've ever. I love this part. I don't even remember where it's at. I just know it's in there. What did he tell Peter to do? Taxes are due. What do we do, Jesus? We got some bills due. Go fishing. Go fish. Not the game go fish, but go fish. And the first fish that you pull out of the sea, open its mouth, and there you'll find just enough to pay the taxes. Does God need your money? Right. That was a little bit stronger, but not very strong. By the end, I'm praying that we do get into the understanding of what it's about then. If that's the case, and this is, I'm preaching this, and this is great, then why do we give? To be obedient. Why does God call us to be obedient and give? Let's talk about it. You guys with me on this one? You guys want to find out the truth? Let's debunk it. If God doesn't need our money, then what's the truth? What's the truth? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Actually, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is fun. Really is fun. I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a blast. Amen. You're like, oh man, talk about money and giving this. Can I ask you to just be honest? And when the preacher or pastor or teacher, whoever it is, whether on TV or up here somewhere, wherever church, when they start talking about giving and money, does it make you just a little bit fidgety? No? Okay, good. 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 I know you said, most of you said no, but the ones who didn't say no is saying yes. That's okay. Mm-hmm. 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 And Josh, you brought up a super good point in the fact that what you're sharing is somebody's idea of giving to church, but that person's idea, that they don't claim to be a follower of God, do they? That's where we don't have any grounds whatsoever to pass any kind of judgment or ask or do anything in there, because if there's not a claim to be a follower of God, then yeah, they have every right to do whatever they want to with their money, with their belongings. Absolutely. But guess what? Every single one of us as a follower of God has the same right and the same privilege. So I want us to talk about this, and I want us to get so ingrained in this to where as you walk out of here, you'll have such a clear perspective of why God does ask us to give and what it's about, what's it for, and what's the purpose of it. Let's get right to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, says this. He says, "But this I say," this is Paul speaking to the church, and he's saying, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." You guys get that? "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully, bountifully, will also reap bountifully." Hello? Amen. Come on, guys. Let's get some amens here. Let's go with this. This is the word of God. This is the truth. Verse 7, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity." Have you ever seen that before in the Bible? Have you ever seen that before? "For God loves a cheerful giver." That's the one we like to quote because we've got that's easy. God loves a cheerful giver. But do you hear what he's also saying for us? He does not want you to give with a grudging heart, and he doesn't even want you to give because you need to, out of necessity, because there's a need. Hello? Whoa! Well, that was, I think, the first verse, verse 6, where he says, "If you reap what you sow." If we do it with the attitude in our heart that, hey, if I give just to get, because according to the promise here, you know, the more I give, the more I'm going to get. The problem with that is he's saying that if you don't do it, because that really is a grudgingly way to give, because here's what you're setting God up for. You're setting it up for a disappointment. Because there's no faith in that. There's really not any trust relationship with God in that. And that's what I'm going to get to when you talked about the tithe, or maybe it was Margarita over there that talked about it. But here's what, God loves a cheerful giver. So why do we give? Oh, wait, let's read verse 8. I got to read verse 8 too, because it actually sums it up as to the statement of it, it summarizes it. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." So why do we give? Why are we called to give? We heard obedience, because it's the right thing to do. And then he tells us here, he said, give cheerfully. In fact, if there's grudging in my heart about giving, it's like, oh, because I have to.
Well, that's what my mom and dad taught me. You're supposed to pay a tithe. You're supposed to give a tenth. They, you know, we've taught our kids to put it in envelopes right at the beginning of starting to earn money. You know, you have envelopes that are, you know, that first part goes to God, and that's that 10%, at least 10%. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the actual tithe, we've deemed it in Christianity as a 10%. I don't know, but there's some of you that know firsthand. Blake, where did Blake disappear to? You have to go, oh, darn it. Okay, that's all right. People like Blake and Michael and stuff, and they know stuff about, like, different things about Leviticus and the things of the teaching in the Bible, and I've read and I've studied it also, but I don't have it actually determined. Do you realize that there's the actual tithe? Do you know what it actually was equivalent to in a person's wages? It's close to 30. I've heard 33 and a third. I've heard 23%. It's anywhere between 20 and 30% that's what an Old Testament tithe was, between 20 and 30%. Where did we come up with 10%? Because the word 10 means tithe. It's a tenth. But here's what we, you know, and I don't want to say, but I want us to get focused on, because that's why I didn't want to really talk about that. Because to me, if it's, oh, well, then I got to give that much. I got to give that much. Or, oh, he's saying that we got to do that. Do you hear what's going on in your heart when you start saying that? No, listen to your heart. What's going on there? Grudge. Grudgingly. Oh, he's telling me that I need to do this. Do you hear that? You hear it in your heart? Listen to it. Listen to it. Identify it and say, okay, Holy Spirit, set me free from that. Set me free from that so that I can be a cheerful giver and give as you lead me to give. Because that's the intent, right? Amen? Go ahead. Do you have a question? Question. Comment. Every time, right? Every time you come to church, I talk about giving, don't I? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
So when you talk about this, what stuck with me the last time was that God wants us to give because he wants us to be able to trust him that he will provide for us and that there will be enough.
Isn't that the bottom line? And I love Mitzi. She just said it. She said it comes down to trusting God. You know that there's people in this room, and I would say that everybody in here, I could probably honestly say that everybody in here loves God. But I can honestly say that not everybody in here trusts God. There's a difference. You can love God, but not trust God. it is, isn't it? It isn't. Oh, I love God. I love God. Yeah. God's good all the time, right? And all the time?
God is good.
Amen. Do you trust him? Margarita? Oh, all the time. Margarita? I'm following you just a smidge. I'm trying to follow that line of thinking. More than anything, I want to follow the line of thinking than the actual question. I believe that there's acts of obedience that involve trust. And in those acts of obedience that involve trust, that one of the hardest things to, isn't it really one of the most difficult things to trust God with? Or actually, there's a couple of them. But one of them is our very own soul, whether we realize it or not. The other is our money, whether we realize it or not. And probably one of the hardest is our children, whether we realize it or not, is to trust God with those things. And then to trust God with our relationships. We take matters into our own hands, not just our relationship with our children, but all those things. When we start giving, investing into that aspect of trusting God with all of those areas of life, it is going to require faith. It is going to require some steps of obedience. Here's one. It's one I'm gonna we'll deal with and we'll talk about it in what is a parent's role as a Christian in disciplining our children. That's one that I got to be obedient. If I take His word, if I take my thoughts captive and make it obedient to the word of God, I got to do what God's word says about raising and training up my children, right? I don't know if I'm following your line of thinking or if I'm going to answering your question, but I want us to get into all those areas, and let's hone in on this one here that I want us to get into is, does God need our money? If that's not the case, then why do I give? And if I give, how do I give? And how do I give correctly? How do I give so that I am obedient to the word of God in giving of the money that God has blessed me to give? And it doesn't involve just money. It involves time. It involves things. It involves work. And there's so many of us here that you give more than just money. You give your time and your energy and your expertise and your skills to God's work. And that's awesome. That's a part of that too. That's a part of this whole thing. And when we do that, we're actually sowing. We're sowing into the kingdom of God. We're sowing into God. And therefore, He is giving us, and this is what I want us to get to. If He doesn't want us to give grudgingly or out of necessity, then why do we give and how do we give? Right? And I know I'm repeating myself for a second, but because here's what I want us to free us from. I want us to free us from the letter of the law that says, well, then I just don't have to do anything, right? I mean, heck, I've had people say this to me and say, well, gosh, you know, the church, why do you guys at church, why do you ask people to give at church? Isn't the church supposed to help people? I mean, I scratch my head and I say, okay, I get it. So instead of passing an offering basket around to people and asking them to put into it, I need to fill it up and pass it around. And as you need, you just take out all that you need. That's what the church is supposed to do, right? And none of us are supposed to give anything because, of course, if God doesn't need it, then why do we give anything anyway, right? Here I want to just, you guys got to start laughing with me on this one because it is laughable. It is laughable. The truth is this, and this is a word of God that the Holy Spirit gave to me this morning that's fantastic. Again, I give all the credit and glory to God the Holy Spirit giving this to me. Just because I pinned it doesn't mean it's nothing on me. It's all God. Do not use grace as a justifiable excuse for disobedience. Did you hear that? God the Holy Spirit said that loud and clear. And this is the one that I added to it. The irony is almost laughable when I hear Christians say, tithing is not a New Testament teaching. They're using grace as a justifiable excuse for disobedience. You say, then what? Because here's what they're doing is they have just used the letter of the New Testament word to bring about the same death to intimacy with God and trust of God as the letter of the law of Moses does. Hello? That was deep, huh? That was deep. I know, that was like I'm floating around in the deep end. And okay, I want us to hear that. Okay. What's that? Okay. That's okay. When we use the grace as a justifiable excuse for disobedience, we use the letter of the New Testament word to bring about the same death, which is the death of intimacy with God, as the letter of the law of Moses. Hello? 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 Anybody fell asleep on me there for a second? Yes, David. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Intimacy with Him. Thank you, David. Were you going to say more? Okay, good. Okay, good. Because now I want to go to, here's the bottom line. Oh, and this is the good stuff. I mean, that was just all just to just get you, what do you call it, moisten your palate, so to speak, because here's the really good stuff. Then why do we give? Malachi chapter 3, let's go there, verse 6. Listen to this. Listen to this passage of Scripture. And I heard Robert Morris teach on this, a teaching, and so I'm kind of, it's a thought. But as I studied this, though, I realized this wasn't really, Robert Morris didn't come up with this either, this thought. So I was like, okay, good. I'm not going to plagiarize Robert Morris. And so anyway, I firmly believe that this next part of this message is what every Christian needs to hear on the planet. Not because it's from me at all. Please don't ever think that. But it's because it's going to free us, and it's going to set us free. It's going to line us up with the laser light of God's word and debunk myths and set us free. And if we start living like this as Christians, Christians will actually have a good name. I mean, a name that is one that they don't look at us all like, all they ever do is want our money. All they ever do is want our money. Hello? You guys, I want us to have a good rapport with those to where people are attracted to give their lives to Jesus. And saying, oh, well, they just want my money. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there like your friend Josh, right? Your friend that's keeping him from surrendering his life to Jesus. That very thought is keeping him. I don't know if you realize that. But when we realize that and say, well, wait a second, that's not what God wants. I want you to hear the truth. So let's do Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, and let's go there and promise not to overspeak this either. I really didn't just lie. I really didn't. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord and I do not change." Oh, how great is that? Man, I got to tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I get into the Word of God. It's life. It's food. I can't get enough of it. And I run across, even when I'm doing a study and trying to study a certain subject and topic and things, it's like I run across these just gems in this life that He feeds my soul with. "For I am the Lord and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Do you hear what He's saying there? Do you hear what He's saying there? No, did you hear what He said there? He said, "Because I am God and my mercy triumphs over my judgment, you are still living. You do not take a step or breathe a breath outside of my mercy." Oh, wow. Oh my gosh, that's heavy. That is heavy. We need to know that is true. Hello? Hello? We need to know that as true. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for His grace and your mercy. Verse 7. Good grief. God is good. Amen. Says, "Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances." It's almost as though I hear him saying this is, you've developed your own thoughts and ideas. You've come up with all your worldviews that sound so smart, so intelligent, so self-sufficient. You humans have got it all figured out, don't you? "You have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." But you said, "In what way shall we return?" It's almost as though God is having this conversation with people. And in the midst of this conversation of people, they're saying, "We don't need you, God, but yet we don't really know what we need." Doesn't that define our culture more than ever before? We don't need you, God, but we don't really know which way to go. We don't know what we need. We don't know which way to go. I don't know how to even get from here to there. From A to B. I can't figure out life. So what do I do with it? I run. I hide. Return to me and I will return to you. How do we return to you? And then he gets into this discourse, which I think is fantastic because this is going to set us free, I believe. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. For you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Listen to this, because I want us to hear this very clearly. As God is pointing this out as a way of robbing God, what is he saying that we really rob God? If we've already established the truth that he doesn't need our money, he doesn't need us, and he's saying, yet you've robbed me. I mean, if the truth is that he doesn't need us and he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and every beast of the field and every bird of the air, why is he saying you've robbed me? Is he one sidewalk short in heaven for gold or something? I mean, what's the deal here? What's the deal here? I'm going to tell you what the deal is. What he's saying, and he's saying this is very true of who God is, who does not change, is his mercy triumphs over judgment, and his God's love for you is wrapped up in you being a child of God and him, God, wanting to pour out blessings into your life. So what he's really saying in this is, you have robbed me of an opportunity to bless you. You steal that from me when you hoard what you think is yours. Do you hear that? No, do you really hear that? When we hoard what and we keep what we think is mine, and I earned it and it's mine, I keep God and I rob God from an opportunity to bless me as his son, as his daughter, as his child. That's the only way that fits. That's the only way that fits, because he doesn't need our money. Hold on, Terry. But he wants to bless you. God, our loving Heavenly Father, wants to pour into your life so many blessings, so much blessing that you cannot contain it. You cannot hold it. So therefore, you've got to spread it. You've got to share it. You've got to give it. Hello? God, come on, let's go with this, right? Let's go with this. This is what God's word is telling us. And God's word is truth. Terry, you were going to say something real quick? Yeah. Which is, it's the verse 12. I didn't get there yet. It's okay. That's okay. I know. It's good. Hey, I encourage you. If you're only hearing the words that I'm speaking, then you're not listening to God. In other words, God the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us a little deeper and a little bit farther and a little bit nice, sometimes a little bit more poignant. In other words, he's pricking an area of your heart that I'm not saying. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Even from the peanut gallery over there. So he says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he says this, try me in this. You know what he's also saying there? Trust me. Trust me in this. Put me to the test. Put me to the test and trust me. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. God is into blessing us. that there will not be enough room even to receive it. It will overflow. Do you hear what he's saying in that? And do not excuse by grace. We don't use grace to excuse disobedience. He's saying this is involved directly with money. Yes, the tithe is that first. It's that first. It's the first 10%. It's that first of, or 20%, or 30%, or 50%. However you sow is what you're going to reap. Whatever you want to come up with. That's why I don't want to just limit it to just 10%. But he also says it in offering. Do you know what? Do you know why this only makes sense? Because an offering, you know what an offering is? It's also referred to as a free will offering. It's something that is, yes, that all is God's. And so therefore we need to honor God and say, yes, this is, we're honoring God, not out of grudgingly and not because of necessity, because it's my intimacy, it's my showing of trust to God who loves me. And I'm not giving it in order to get, but an offering is, that's what the tithe is. An offering is the extra. It's the stuff that when you're walking down the road, when you're driving down the road, when you're in Mexico and you give to, you know, one of your servers or something, when you do something that's above and beyond the basket at church that you're supposed to give at least a minimum 10%, then what you're going to do is you're going to find yourselves pushed in these opportunities because the Holy Spirit is very real. He's very real. And if my people open their ears, I will speak to them. And I will speak to you to give. And then you give me the opportunity to bless you. Man, I am set free. I am set free by the grace of God to give as He leads me to give. Hello? Amen to that. Hallelujah. I didn't even finish the passage of scripture. Oh, because I want to, let's go. I'm going to jump real quick in there. Matthew chapter 7. Here's another little portion. Sorry. Matthew chapter 7. I got a little note in my Bible. Matthew 7 verse 7. Just to confirm that thought. Verse 7. Ask and 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? Listen to this. If his son asks for bread, if his son asks for bread. Who did Stephen say that we are? Children of God. If your son asks for bread, which one of you will give him a stone? Or if your son asks for fish, who will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Do you see that's the heart of God? And according to even that Malachi verse, he says, God who does not change. Did God change from the Old Testament to the New Testament somewhere? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure God who did not change back then, who has not changed ever from eternity past, will not change to eternity future. In this little time frame, this blip of time frame in between, he's not going to change that we call this life. And he definitely didn't change for that about 400 or 500 years in between the Old and New Testament. He didn't change. God loves us. He's always loved us. He's never will stop loving us. And that's the truth. Amen? Ha. I told you this was good preaching, huh? Right? Yeah, this is good stuff. Rob is going to be like, don't say that ever again. So. So let's look at something, one last thing in Mark chapter 12, since we're in the New Testament. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41. Am I still on? Yeah, okay, good. It says, now Jesus, this is interesting. This is after all kinds of different incidences that he had with the scribes and Pharisees. And so Jesus, he sat opposite of the treasury. This is at the temple. And listen to this. And he saw how the people put money into the treasury and how many were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. Basically, it's about two pennies, or a penny, I think, is what it refers to. So he called his disciples to himself, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she put in her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. I know that, you know, yes, the issue of putting in all that we have, I don't want us to deal with that so much as this one word in here, it's the same in every translation I've run across and I looked into, and it's the word how. It says, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and he wasn't watching what they put in. Listen to that. Jesus wasn't paying that much attention to what they were putting in. And he wasn't even watching, and yet he did pay attention, but he wasn't even distinctly watching how much they were putting in, even though we have this clarity that how much she did put in. But what was he really watching? How people were giving. The attitude of the heart behind what and how they were giving. How they were giving. Were they giving to make a show so that other people would see them give? Were they giving out of a grudging heart? Were they giving out of necessity? She was giving out of intimacy and trust. She trusted her God to provide her next meal because she gave what was going to buy it to God's work. To God. That's cool stuff. That's cool stuff. That's really cool stuff. Amen? So I want us to say this, and I want to say it really clearly. God hasn't changed. He is still watching how we give. He is still watching us. We at this ministry here, we've set up our format is like this. Two open hands. One to receive. One to give. I want you to be very careful about that. Be very careful about that. Because in saying that, some have said, well, that one to give, that's for the people that have a lot to give. That's not for me. I can barely make it. I barely have enough. That's for the people that have extra to give to those that are like me who do not have very much. That's not the attitude. That's not the perspective that we're advocating here. What is it? Even the attitude of this widow, he's saying, watch how. Look at how she gave. She gave more because the attitude of her heart was, I trust you, God, to take care of me. I trust you, God. So it again comes right down to it. God doesn't need your money. He wants intimacy with you, each and every one of you, right where you're at. Please, 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 I beg you and beseech you, do not let money be a hindrance. Do not let what you don't have be a hindrance with intimacy with God. Trust Him. Trust Him. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to bless you. Do not rob God of an opportunity to bless you by holding on to what you think you need to pay your bills, to buy your food, to do this or that. Here's what's awesome. This is the last little point, and then we'll pray. God in His sovereignty gives us sovereignty. What's that mean? God in His sovereignty gives us sovereignty. He's given us. He simply has given us the choice, free will, the choice to allow Him to bless us or to take matters into our own hands and do it all on our own. I don't know about you guys. I'm going to choose the latter. Not the latter of taking matters in my own hands. I'm going to choose to let God, allow God, permit God to bless me by giving at every... I'm going to look for opportunities to give every single day. Every single day, looking for opportunities to give. Not so that I can get, but man, His blessings are way above and beyond material possessions, money enough to pay the bills. The blessings of God are so much that He says there won't even be enough room to receive it. That's the truth of God's word. Amen? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Yep. Amen. Amen. I see it all the time. I sometimes, you know, sometimes I get caught up in this, in the middle of it, because I'm in the middle of it. Not just the stuff at our thrift shop, but the food that we have here and the ability to be able to help thousands of families every single month out of this place, out of this ministry that God has said, this is how you guys better do it. You better have an open hand over here, giving as you see fit to give, giving every time you're led to give, helping those in need in any way that you can. And that's exactly what we love to do. That's why I believe that God keeps pouring in this one so that we can keep giving out of this one. Hello? I mean, I see it all the time. I see it all the time. And sometimes, yeah, it gets like, wow, there's a lot of stuff. Wow, there's a lot of food. Wow, there's a lot of things. Wow, this is hard work, man. This is really hard work running this warehouse and, you know, dealing with all this stuff. And I'm not mocking anybody. But what I'm doing is I'm saying sometimes in my spirit, in my heart, I'm thinking, this is hard work. It's such hard work handling all of God's blessings. Wow, what a chore. I'd like us to just, if you will, since we're in this together, connect with me for a second. Do you have a more clear perspective on giving than you walked in this morning? Maybe it's something that God's confirmed in your spirit about it, or maybe it's something that's like, hey, let me ask you another question. Did you get rubbed a little bit wrong here and there? Only a few of us. Okay. yes, go ahead, brother.
You know what spoke to me was the word we use, earnings.
Earnings.
Worldly term.
Isn't it? Yeah.
We're Christ-like. If you believe the Lord provided for us, He gave you that job. He gave you that.
Amen.
He gave you this life. He's given you that next breath.
Hallelujah.
We don't earn anything, but we just lean in Him and trust in Him to provide. And so, I can't use the word earnings.
No, it's
what he provided,
what
he gave me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Church and friends, all gifts.
Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Again, I just say, man, let's as we debunk some of these myths, it's the intent is simply just to set us free so that we can have intimacy with God, and as we walk that walk with God and just watch God pour into our lives. I think it's gonna be fun just watching God surprise us. You know, allow God to surprise you. Don't hold back. Trust Him with everything. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You for Your love for us, Your grace, Your mercy, Your kindness. Again, I didn't even go there, but I'm still in prayer mode right now, Lord. So I'm speaking to You as I share this part of my spirit, that what so many things that You're teaching me, it's, I look into where You talk about it, you use Paul's words in Romans, and You tell us that it's Your kindness. Don't we realize, don't You see, don't I see Father, help me see that it's your kindness that leads me to repentance. It's me seeing you work in me and through me that you can use me. And that repentance is again, I just want to, it's not about me stopping doing something I shouldn't be, but it's at that high place. It's that high place of relationship with you that I'm after, and I long for those moments of intimacy with you. Lord, show me the things in my life, especially even this one, even if it's an attitude in my heart that I give grudgingly or give out of necessity, I don't give cheerfully. And instead I'm looking and I'm considering things that are mine, and they're not mine. It's all yours. And you don't need a lick of it from me. But what you long for is intimacy with me. Oh Lord, help me to remove those things that keep me from intimacy with you. Help me by the power of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit in and through my life, to be right with you, and especially this area of my life. In Jesus' name, be glorified in us and through us as we worship you and lift you up. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.